Welcome back to Los Ponies Podcast. Curtis, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Nice little Friday evening here. Beautiful weather. What's going on?
We're having a little debate here with Professor G about a number of topics. But he wants us to tell the listeners that we still have the happy hour going on, right?
Yeah, I just hit up for two hot dogs down there. There's a little bit of a crowd, but went down there. No better deal at Los Al.
All right. Remind us again the deal.
You have hot dogs for $2 and beers for $2 from 4 to 6 p.m.
Fridays, right?
Yeah, Fridays at Rodney's Bar. You have to go to Rodney's Bar for it. You got to remember that. I got a little sidetracked one day. I got a regular hot dog. I missed out on the deal, but I've been good ever since.
Yeah, all it takes is you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how this thing works. But yeah, that'll be fun. And Professor G, keeping on all things tabs on the grounds, he just told us that the Marfalites worked, I think, second local work on the grounds.
Yeah, one of the better horses from out of state coming to Los Al. Going to help us in the older division here. He's going to go up against BH Lisa's boy and Zuma for Spuds. And he's a really good horse. I'm excited to see him here.
Me too. Remember seeing him at Redoso. And we picked up on him because, obviously, he's half-brother to the late, great Muniz. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he gets rolling here locally at Los Al, and good to have him on the grounds.
Yeah, and we got everybody loves when Muniz's family's running.
Yes.
Everybody's got a soft spot in their hearts for that. And it's nice to see people following the quarter horses out of state. So he comes over here, and he'll have a little fan base.
Yeah, that'll be fun as we're just, 2 weeks away from kindergarten trials?
Yep.
Yep,
we've seen some nice two-year-olds so far. Mike Robbins has some runners. Monia Rosa has some runners. So they're in the shape, and we'll be excited to see them.
Yeah, and the next 2 weekends, weekend and a half, you're going to see some of the runners that are not the cream of the crop and are not nominated, per se, to the kindergartners, but they're still going to run because they want to get some seasoning into them. And I think this weekend we have some nice ones, both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I expect some another good babies to be unveiled this weekend, and we're going to take a look at Saturday's card, which will have a 9-race program, and we're going to have 1 2-year-old event in race number 8. They'll begin the late double, but 9 race on Saturday. First event, it's going to be 4.5 conditional claimers there. Fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, which have never won 2 races. Field of 6, and it is Yulo, California. The real deal?
I actually went against her in here.
I like this. Let me hear it.
You know, going up against these better horses, jumping all the way up to 5,000. I mean, she did look great first time out, but I thought he was asking a lot of her the whole way around, and I didn't think the field was that much. But, I mean, won by daylight there. But I went with Cuvée Cat on the outside there for Felix Gonzalez. He's got 2 in here, so I think the 1 has just entered for the 6 horse. But this horse has been running against better, and last time out just sat a little bit off the pace there. Was a little over 2 lengths behind, but closed well against better horses. So I'm thinking if Jewel of California and Dress Code Violator can, you know, go ding dong up there on the front end, that Cuvée Cat can sit the trip.
Yeah, that's going to be the 6th horse there on the outside, 4-1. I gave the check mark to the 5, Jewel of California. Looked good locally, and like you said, was asked, but you know, 52-3 is not too bad of a clock in here against that type of field. The second horse in my numbers would probably be the 2 here, Ramona Lover. Chris Russell, Robert Lucas broke slow last time out. I thought this horse could have been much improved. I'm looking all the way back to that race 3 starts back. Finished a good second there in a final clock in a 51-2. The eventual winner, Holy Plan, has turned out to be a decent runner. Has raced as some, I guess, some top horses here over the grounds. I would probably give the second choice to the 2, but top 3 in order for me, 5, 2, 6. I do think the 6 there could be a threat from the outside post for Felix Gonzalez.
Okay, I thought the 3, Cali Mesa, was pretty good to use, but the only thing I don't like, the horse is jumping up to 5,000 there off the claim, and Elmer doesn't really have very good numbers first time off, so to do that and jump it up, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this horse, but has been knocking on the door there in the past couple starts. So like I said, I'm looking for Kuve Cat to set the trip, but I think I'm also looking for Callie Mesa to get the same thing.
Yeah, that's going to be Kelly McDade up a war, who's been riding well. He's been riding actually pretty well. 4-1 in the morning line on Callie Mesa. I think it's an interesting puzzle to begin the night here at Los Alamitos in race one. Race number two, 4.5, maidens, 3-year-olds and up. We got a field of 6 there. Who's going to take the lead? That's going to be the question mark here in this field. Not a ton of early speed, top to bottom. By default, the two downhill run, finishing third, and second, the last 4 outings, is going to be your morning line choice. First off, to claim for Chuck Treese. Did your dad tell you to go to the bank on this one?
No, I actually asked him about another horse tonight.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought this horse looked pretty honest. It has been finishing well in the last 3 starts. But like you said, there's not a whole lot of speed. And this horse can be kind of forwardly placed there. I was only a length off of it and 2.5, 2 and 3 outs back. So, you know, he sat close to the pace the past couple times. So I'm hoping if my dad can improve this horse a little, he can get the job done.
Yeah, he's going to look tough. 3-year-old Gray Gelding by Creative Cost out of the Swiss Gilder Merritt Downhill Diva. The main threat is probably going to be the one, Close Friends. A little bit evenly last time out, but that one's against a straight maiden company going 870. Got to fuel the grounds and got used to the surroundings, so maybe second time locally can improve. That's the only horse that I could really make a case for. The one, Close Friends, who's going to be 3-1 of the morning line for Nick Lowe. And Ulises Gomez is going to stay aboard. I can't really be too creative in this event. I think it's just between the 2 and the 1.
Yeah, I was just going to go ahead and single the 2. Yeah. Other than, I think if you don't do that, you're going to have to spread quite a bit. The only other horse I really gave a look to, I thought maybe just because this horse ran well 4 outs back here at Los Al, is the 4 Alley's Gem.
Mm-hmm.
Closed nicely and finished 3rd, only beating a neck, and was lugging out around the turn and rallied late. So, I mean, that's probably going to be my long shot play of the night is the 4, but I'll probably just single downhill run.
Yeah, Jose Puentes, a trainer on the 4 Alley's Gem, has off to a good start with thoroughbreds through 2 winners from 3 runners. So, Marcia Ramirez, who was aboard 4 starts back, is going to be back aboard for Alley's Gem. That's going to conclude the early double as we look forward to race number 3, 4.5, conditional claimers, 3-year-olds and up, which have not won a race in 2018. So one of these runners is going to get a first place check for the first time this year. We got a field of 7, top to bottom. The morning line is pretty spread out. I think this is a competitive group. I eventually went to the 7 horse Rumble Run, who's coming off of the layoff there for Chuck Treese. Kellen McDade is listed aboard. Speed on the outside, freshened, class drop. There's a lot of things to like. The main question mark will be the layoff. But I'm liking the speed on this one. I'm liking the outside draw. 5-2 on the morning line. We'll probably go off every bit of that just because there's a lot of options to go here.
Yeah, if this horse can bounce back after the little freshening here, will be extra tough. But I kind of like my dad's horses maybe second time after they come back, and maybe first time here. I think the 6 is pretty quick and can challenge it for the early lead. That's why I give my check mark to him. I like that Juan Sanchez stayed aboard this horse.
Yeah.
I also like the 2, but, you know, Sanchez opted to ride this horse, I think, over a Nunez horse, which is usually his first call guy. So I think Sanchez has a lot more confidence in this dance is mine. So I'm looking for this horse to do well off the class drop, and I was right there the previous 2 starts at the $4,000 level. So hopefully the little drop here helps.
And you got to respect the consistency of the 6. Fourth, second, fourth, first, and they've all been pretty decent efforts. Apart from the last one where that one was beating 5.5 lengths as the beating favorite, but that was a fast race, 51-3 for that level and outdrops in class. I could definitely see the 6 winning. As far as my top 3 in order of preference, 7-2-6. So I do give a shot to the 2, Ferocious. Second time off the layoff, Ulises Gomez, who's in the last month or so has been picking up a lot of thoroughbred mounts, a lot of around the hook mounts. He started as a thoroughbred rider.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just focused on more quarter horse the last few years. And now we're starting to see him back around the hook.
Yeah, he started riding for James Glenn Jr. and Scott Willoughby a lot more, but he hasn't been riding that many quarter horses, so he's kind of going back to his roots here, going around the hook, and he's picking up a lot more mounts. If people think he's just a quarter horse rider, you know, he's a more than capable thoroughbred rider, and that's why I also like the two Ferocious. I think the drop down here and coming off of the 870, this horse has some speed. You know, to be forwardly placed there along the inside, maybe if Run, Roll, Run and this dance is mine, maybe if they make a little mistake, this horse can hold the rail and try and take them wire to wire.
Yeah, that's going to be race number three, by the way, on the program, listed as Happy 50th Birthday, Emily. Emily, if you're listening to the Las 20s podcast, if you're not, tell your friends about it. Happy birthday. Race four, 870 yards. Here's going to begin the pick six. We got 3-year-olds and up. And went down the morning line, and your slight morning line choice is going to be the seventh horse, Radio Chatter. Mm-hmm. I believe this is a privately purchased runner because now it shows Felix as owner and trainer. Last race across San Diego against maiden $20,000 claimers. Show speed faded in the stretch. But then again, there's not a ton of speed in this field. So this horse can take some of that speed and show it here over the nighttime oval. Might be long gone. I gave the check mark to the seventh Radio Chatter here for Felix Gonzalez.
Yeah, I thought this could be also a good single to end in your pick form if you didn't want to single earlier in some of those races. But this definitely looks to be the speed of the speed and catches a pretty paceless field.
Yeah.
I asked my dad about the number 8 Causeway runner.
Here we go.
This is the one I asked
him
about.
Wait. And I need to do a rum roll. All right, give us a scoop.
And he says it might need one. That's what he said. Because I said, this horse ran fourth in a stake. I mean, albeit it's in New Mexico.
I mean, don't you think it's interesting that they debuted this horse in a stakes right off the bat?
So that's what I was wondering. I thought, oh, man, does this horse have some early gas
or something
like that? We go 870. We don't go across town one time. We just go 870. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I didn't see a whole lot of 3-furlong work, so I don't know if this race was exactly in the plan for it. That's why I like the 7, because it doesn't sound like the 8 has that early speed, and looks like he'll be out there on the front end alone.
Yeah, but the interesting part, the 8-horse Causeway runner, 3-1 Lamorian line on the outside, Chuck Treese, Kelly McDade listed to ride. Yeah, this horse debuted against Stakes Company at Albuquerque Downs, finished 4th in a field of 10, so not too bad. Then came back in the main special weight as a heavy favorite, 90 cents of the dollar, finished 3rd, then came back and finished 7th. That was back in October. This horse is going to draw the outside. We'll see what he can do locally for the first time. The long shot play of the night will probably be the 2 here for me, Sonic Boy. I thought that was a better-than-looked effort last time. I'll just draw a line through that effort. I thought this horse had some run past the wire. 2 starts back, finished 3rd, just beating about a length behind Cromie, who returned to win off of that effort and looked good doing it. But I think this horse with Chris Russell up aboard the first time, I think the 2 could be a long shot play. 6-1 on the morning line will probably get higher just because I think I expect the 7 and the 8 to take plenty of play.
I actually went with the horse right next to it for a good long shot. I thought Heaven in Her Eyes, first time for Martin Valenzuela and leading rider Juan Sanchez gets aboard, and what I liked about this horse, it has some nice 3-furlong drills, and so I thought this horse would be sharp and ready to go here for the first time at 870, so I'm hoping to catch a price here with this one.
It's going to be race number 4. No quarter horses, all thoroughbreds here going 870. Race number 5, we got 4.5 furlongs at the distance, conditional claimers, fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, which have never won 2 races. We got a field of 6, and the 2 runners that are going to take most of the play are going to be the 2 Kelly Encounter and the 3 Blazing Miss. The 2, 6-5 on the morning line for Chuck Priester. That could have a good night.
Yeah.
He could. So
people listening are either going to love
you
or hate
me.
You.
Yeah. Because Kelly McGett is back aboard on Kelly Encounter. 6-5. I think it's a tough field. I couldn't really zero in on any of the runners. The 3 looks good based on the last 2 wins with Juan Sanchez, who stays aboard for Jesus Nunez. That would probably be my check mark on the 3, but I could see going 3 or 4 deep here in this field.
Yeah, I thought the horse to beat was the 3 Blazing Miss. if you draw a line through the twos last effort there, when that just didn't show that customary speed, and they actually claimed it, and the claim got voided there.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like this horse a lot more being drawn inside, but I'm just not sure how this horse is going to come back off of that, and so that's why I like the three Blazing Mist, because she's just been lights out there on the front end after battling the whole way around last time, then she won by daylight there, two outs back, so I thought the three was really good here. If I had to go with another long shot, I'd probably pick the four, Papa's Lady, mm-hmm. for Kelly Castaneda, just because I thought this one was the best out of the other ones that could sit a nice trip. I think the five, Yolanda Stone, is 4-1 on the morning line, but I think this horse is probably going to scratch because, I mean, it's a maiden. It hasn't even won yet.
Yeah.
It's here for 2,500 non-winners of three lifetime, but, I mean, this horse fits, but I wouldn't enter this horse in a non-winners of three if I'm eligible for a maiden race.
Yeah.
So this horse is probably going to scratch. That's why I went with the four.
Yeah, because the five is first off the claim for 3,500, and they're entering this spot, and it's 2,500.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting choice. We'll see if that one goes through the entry box and see if it actually goes off at post time. That's going to be race number five here on Saturday night. Race number six will begin the late pick four. We got a field of six going postward, 300 yards, maiden claims, maiden claimers, 6,250. Morning line favorite is going to be the two, Tres Cartels, who was the post time favorite last time out, finished third against slightly tougher $8,000 claimers, so a slight drop in class, but I give the check mark to the four, Cristel here. First up, we'll claim Ricardo Guillen, Leonardo Gonzalez stays aboard. This one broke pretty well last time out, was bumped at the start, but never really quit when finishing just a neck behind fellow rival Seven's Rattler. But I'm thinking the four still has some run. I just don't think we've seen the best of this one. And maybe this one can still pop up with the win. 3-1 on the morning line. And I think the morning line is good. The post time odds are going to be pretty spread out because you have a lot of runners that look pretty similar on paper.
I think people will definitely try to beat Tres Cartels here.
Yeah.
Has had the look of a runner in the past that just kind of lets you down. Kind of like Alamode had been for
yeah.
us last week.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been playing this horse for a while now and just doesn't seem to have that final kick that it needs to get the job done. So I went with the other Ricardo Guillen. You went with the four, Cristel. I went with the five, Seven's Rattler.
Mm-hmm.
This horse was drawn next to Cristel and actually was the one that broke in and bumped her at the start. But I thought finished out really well, and that's why I thought this one was the top pick. But Cristel and Seven Rattler, there's not that much separating
yeah,
these
tough.
Two. So you can go with either one.
Yeah, Tres Cartels, 2-1 on the morning line. Although you got to give this horse credit, had not been the favorite, had not been the post line favorite until last time out.
Mm-hmm.
And finished third there. The two is going to be first time gelding. Jesus Nunez will be aboard, racing for the first time since April of 2017. The six on the outside, I didn't know what to make of this horse. Be quick, 3-1 on the morning line. I don't know this horse, we've seen the best of it, but I feel like there hasn't been a ton of trouble in a few of those starts, and he's had his chances.
Yeah.
But I know if I throw this horse out, he's probably going to win.
Yeah. Being drawn on the outside, I think Ulysses up in the irons. He tends to veer out. And I think if this horse does make any mistake at the start, horses like Seven's Rattler and Cristel, you know, they're pretty quick, and I think they're going to be better at out finishing that horse on the outside. So definitely fits in this race, but I think if I was going to go with a horse that's been a little more underachieving and has a chance to win this, I would go with Tres Cartels.
Yeah, that's going to be race number six on Saturday night. Race number seven will begin the late pick three for Saturday evening. We got a field of seven going 300 yards, and the two horse here, Yashira Vista, is a three-year-old first-time starter, Brazil bred, for breeder Mauro Ely Sabrowski, owner and breeder here. Paul Jones is the trainer. Ayala will be aboard. And that was a very nice draw. 1780 on the 14th of April. Broke fast, drifted in, hand right throughout, and just finished strong. If this horse runs back to that draw, we'll probably win. But it's a first-time starter, making his first start as a three-year-old. So I think it's going to be a little bit tricky there, but no doubt that two has some talent.
Yeah, Paul Jones has a lot of ties to the Brazilians, and they bring what looks to be a runner here. First time out for that work, goes 1780. That's pretty well for any horse around here. If he breaks and runs like he should, he probably wins here. I went with the 5 for Matt Fales, my favorite cartel. This horse was actually DQ'd out of his maiden win, which is actually in a fraternity trial for the bad test, but comes back here and gets put back in with maiden. So I think whenever I see that a horse wins and gets DQ'd in a race and gets to go back in with maidens, they usually win next time out. So that's why I went with the 5, my favorite cartel.
Now my favorite cartel finished 3rd last time out by a length in 1574. Another horse to look for is probably the 7, better than ever on the outside, Scott Willoughby, Ulysses Gomez. Just finished 2nd by a head last time out. Thought it was a good effort coming off the layoff and not raced in September. And that effort was on the 15th of April. So second time off the layoff, draws the outside. Could be a horse to improve as well. Top 3 in order of preference for me will probably be 2, 7, and 4.
Yeah, I went with the same thing there. If I just had to, I love the breeding on the 1. Babe Can Fly.
Yep.
Hasn't really shown enough, but has had some excuses in the past 3 starts. But I always like to bet horses out of the dam, Babe on the Fly. She usually drops some runners there and draws the rail and gets Cesar de Alba aboard. So maybe as a little long shot there along the rail, Babe Can Fly.
Yeah, that's going to be the 1, Babe Can Fly, from Mike Castleman. And right now, we have runners that have worked well. Like the 1 has worked 1810 on the 17th of March. We mentioned about the workout on the 2.
Yeah.
And even the 4, Freaky Business, for Yanni Rodriguez, second time out, was bet pretty well on debut.
Yeah.
Just under 2.5 to 2. Worked 12:30 from the gate on the 6th of March. So 1, 2, 4, even the 7 had a good drill beforehand. So there's some runners with definitely of upside in this field. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the 3-year-old debuting Yashira Vista lands here for Paul Jones.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be singling in this race. I'd want to get a little bit of coverage here,
because I think you're going to get some decent value in a few of these runners. You're definitely going to get a good price in the 1, and definitely the 5 or the 7 if the 2 gets over bet.
Yeah.
All right, race some rate, the late double here. We got a 2-year-olds going 300 yards. We got a few with the racing experience and a few first-time starters. 7 nautical, 5-2 on the morning line. That's going to be your morning line favorite for Jose Flores. Worked 12:30 on the 12th of April. Veered in, but kind of went on their hand ride and won that drill over the stable mate that morning. 12:30, the 2nd best of 27 for the morning, and Cruz Mendez will be aboard tonight.
Yeah, this horse looked pretty good in both drills. Like you said, just went straight and strong throughout there and wasn't ever asked.
No.
So 12:4 the first time, then 12:3. The second work I thought was really, really good. He won by a length and just wasn't even asked to rep. But I like the way this horse breaks from the gate. Mm-hmm. Besides the 6, I thought this was the best breaker in the field, just going by the videos. So that's why I went with the 7 on top. I think a sleeper horse in here is the 1, Parsons Rocket, for Chris O'Dell. You've been talking a lot about how he never really asks his babies for a whole lot in the morning. But this horse just broke okay and kind of coasted. You know, same thing, was never asked, and put up a nice time at 12:6 first time out. And then the same thing, just broke okay and coasted from the inside and went in a time of 12:5. But this horse is definitely capable of a lot more.
Yeah, Parsons Rocket, a 2-year-old gelding by Parsons Rock. Look at the damn side. By Terrific Energy.
I think that explains why the horse can't break.
Yes.
I mean, if you ever watch Thermonuclear Energy, mm-hmm. you tried to watch Alesso Naka, tried to cash a ticket on that horse, and I don't know how many times that horse just broke slow and would just finish like a freight train, but definitely a characteristic of this family.
Yes, she's dropped some good runners, and they definitely can pack a late kick. Let's see if Parkinson's Rocket can rocket out of the gate from the inside post. The other choice that looks good on the morning line is going to be the 4, Dinastia Inferno. There's a 2-year-old colt by Walk Through Fire out of Dinastia Toll. So you see some Brazil breeding there on the dam side.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Jones is the conditioner. Ayala will be aboard. And on the 10th of April, work 12:30, was tapped a few times, but I think this horse finished well. He is nominated to the Kindergarten, the Golden State, and the $2 million. So this guy seems to be nominated to all the big ones. Maybe this guy can develop later on into a good runner.
Yeah, this horse is half the FDD Dynasty. So, I mean, right there, you know, he's got the family side. I remember going and seeing him at the equine sale when he was over there. I went for a little too much, but definitely has the breeding all there.
You got the pocket to buy this one. Don't play yourself.
I wish we did. There's two that I wanted. I thought maybe we could get at the sale, but just went too high, too expensive. So we went with another horse. But the only thing I didn't like about the four, Dynasty Inferno, is the three works. I really don't like seeing that. It tells me this horse is kind of green and needs a little bit more time to develop. But that April 10th drill, that 12-3, I mean, was much improved. This horse was focused all the way down through there and really kept a task the whole way. But I just don't like seeing the three work tab. That just tells me maybe this one's going to need a little more time.
Yeah, and that's some things we like to know. Sometimes we like to look in between the lines, and that's one thing that we see. Usually these debuters work, debut with two drills in the mornings, and then they get to race. But yeah, interesting to note, this one did have three drills, but they all have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
1290, definitely. 1270, and 1230. And, well, we have a moment. Let me see. I want to see. Because three runners here were purchased out of the Los Alamigos equine sale. That was a 2, 3, and 4. But I want to see. Usually, the sale prices of quarter horses are not listed in the pre-pees. So I like to do some research and see how much they went for. Because sometimes it gives you an idea of if they spend a good amount of money for a quarter horse. And that could be a hidden angle when handicapping, because if they paid a nice price, they obviously like something about this horse.
Yeah. Whenever you see horses, I would say above 50,000 for a quarter horses, that's something to keep track of.
Yeah, serious, like really serious.
That's usually people really see something in this horse, or they're looking at the family, but also the confirmation is there.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually get into a bidding war, or somebody doesn't want to get rid of that horse.
Yes.
You know, for a small amount of money. They think their horse has some potential. If it doesn't reach that reserve, then they'll just take the horse back. So definitely keep track of that. I mean, it doesn't get anywhere near the prices of thoroughbreds.
No.
So that's why I say, the $50,000 level. I would say, 30 and under is kind of where you're trying to find some bargains
median,
in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still a good chunk of change. But you're trying to find, a little diamond in the rough there for those prices.
Usually, if you see a three-figure horse, that's usually going to be the top seller in that particular sale. But I just looked it up, and the four went for $45,000 at the Los Alamitos equine sale. You got that pocket? That's pocket change for you.
That's why I have a bunch of partners. If I did that, my wife would kill me.
Yes.
My mom would kill me. My dad wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd like to have a half the FDD Dynasty
but
he better not charge me training.
Yeah, and Chuck Treese mentioned the other one that sold at the Los Equine Sale, the three Always Right. Debuted troubled in that event, but does come out of a fast race. They won 15:55 in that event, and Always Right finished well, being in seventh there with some trouble. But they had a previous drill of 1250 on the 27th of March, and they purchased this one for $26,000 at the Los Alamitos Equine Sale. But yeah, I agree. I like how the 7 broke in the mornings, Nautical Sea, for Jose Flores. That's going to be my check mark. And I also like the Dynastia Inferno. So 7-4 for me, top two here.
Yeah, if you want to take a look at a long shot, I thought Dexter for Jaime Gomez worked pretty well. Had trouble at the start in both works, veered in both times, but I thought this horse leveled off pretty well and draws the outside here. So there could be a good little price there at 8-1.
Yeah, race number 9, going to close out the car, 330 yards for quarter horses and allowance. And we got a compact field of 5. And this horse fell off the radar. I always had him as a – I immediately wrote him down as a future star. in my notes. And I'm talking about the one Branchino who I'm going to make my Los Ponies lock of the night. Not the morning line favorite, 8-5 on the morning line is Branchino, 6-5 on the two, Dr. Fantastic. But this horse showed tremendous amount of talent in debut, off slow, and should have probably won that effort and finished second by a neck. Then came back, broke the maiden easily, came back and handled Lowndes Company pretty nicely. But that was all the way back in June. Has been on the bench since then. Don't really know what happened. But now this horse draws the inside, and the Alba will be aboard. I'm hoping John Cooper could have a nice four-year-old here on the one, Branchino.
Yeah, the only thing I can guess about this horse is it's kind of like Chowchilla Chickadee when she debuted. They're really nice runners, but they just weren't paid into anything.
Yes.
They weren't. So this horse debuting, you know, as a three-year-old, maybe this horse just wasn't paid into any derbies. So he just runs in a couple maiden races, you know, and then he breaks it, and then he goes on to race an allowance race. And maybe Cooper said, you know, we'll just save him and, you know, put him on the shelf for a while and bring him back. But definitely looks the part. Has run two really strong races. Funny Car was a horse for Chris O'Dell that I thought could finish really well.
Mm-hmm.
Outfinished that horse, you know, in the 330, put up a nice number. Comes back. I like that this horse goes from Tony Guymon to Cesar de Alba. He gets aboard. I also made it my top pick here in the ninth.
Yeah, you know, he's a four-year-old. I think he could make some noise this year in the older division. I really do. If he returns to that level and continues developing, I'm expecting some big things from the one Branchino, but they got to run the race. And the main threat is going to be the two, Dr. Fantastic, who's going to be 6-5 in the morning line. And the interesting thing, this horse also finished second last time out by a head in an allowance, non-winners of three. But this horse has run against him stakes company there. Qualified to the PC Creature A British Futurity in 2016, finished fifth in that event. But there's some good run lines there. Two wins and 11 tries. Coming off the layoff as well, has not raced since the 20th of October. But Eduardo Nicasio has ridden this horse very well.
Yeah, definitely the main threat here. I thought it was just a two-horse race.
Yeah.
He's been going against way better horses and has the better numbers on paper. Has put up 102, 107 speed figures. So I really thought this horse looked good. You know, it's right there in the money. You know, 3 seconds in a row here, but only beaten by a little bit. And first, four times back. Blue-Eyed Eagle, the runner from along the rail, the Jesus Nunez runner, we were all on that one night. he was closing in on that one. So I think this horse definitely has some good finish. I'm just hoping he's not as good as Branchino coming back, but does have more experience, and that could play a factor.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun race to close it out. Only a field of five, but I think the top two definitely have tons of potential. The four could play the upset choice here. Still trying, I think, for James Glenn and Ulises Gomez. Has been consistent throughout. Has always seems to be in the mix of things. Last time out, $25,000 open claimers. Didn't get the best of trips and finished fifth. But if you're looking for an upsetter, I think the four will be the only choice to really upset the top two.
Yeah, just throughout that last race. Just wasn't very characteristic of this horse, who's usually there at the end. I don't think he's as good to go against and challenge the one and two, but definitely is the better horse of the three and the five.
Yeah, that's going to be the nine race program on Saturday night at Los Alamitos. I like it. I think there's some good prices throughout the card. Obviously, we have some runners to look forward to and some two-year-olds and then some comebackers like Branchino. That's going to be fun. We'll see if people are going to love you or hate you after this, because your dad could go. Your dad could almost hit the pick four, I think. Is he?
Yeah, he's pretty loaded up front.
Yeah, he's loaded for races two, three, and four, I think so.
But you never know. I mean, he'll just tell you to single everything.
Hey, but
he'll just tell you to play a $1 pick four.
But he does tell you, we're not here to lose. We're here to run.
Exactly.
So.
He's never out there to run second. He loves to win. He wants to get those pictures. He puts horses in where they can win.
Yeah, and the stats this year has been well. He's been hitting the win board consistently.
Yeah, a lot of pictures down there. He's had his highest percentage in a while. I think he's above 20%. That's always a good marker.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. All right, that's the show. Anything for the post show?
Well, one thing I was going to talk about is people always ask why quarter horses, all the money is in the futures.
Yes. Good question.
You know, because a lot of people see thoroughbreds and all they think of is Kentucky
Derby. Three-year-olds, yeah.
You know, that's all it is. So, you know, I just brought up some of the nominations and why the fraternities are worth so much. In quarter horse racing, you have to start paying in to the fraternities when your horse is a yearling.
Uh-huh.
And if you miss any of these payments along the way, there's usually eight. You know, they start off $100, $100, and then they moved up to $200. So it's small little increments. But if you miss one, there's usually only one time you can make a late payment.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your horse isn't eligible. And so that's why any foal that you have, you know, it's like the lottery.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to pay him.
You
got to
pay him.
Whether you are Corona Cartel out of Mr. Just Perry,
yes,
or Buzzword out of a Spanish boot mare,
yeah,
you know, if you don't pay in,
you never know.
Then you can't run.
Yeah.
But there's horses like Chowchilla
Chickadee
who later on in the year pop up and they're really good and they look like monsters. And if this horse would have paid into, say, the Kindergarten or the Ed Burke, which are the shorter distances at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm,
this horse would have been one of the favorites.
Yes.
But since they didn't take that chance and they didn't make those payments, they just have to sit out and they don't get to run until maybe when they turn older, where you don't have to make those payments up front.
Yeah, so that's where it comes to play for a quarter horse. And it's all about the futurity season. It's all about the two-year-old season. That's why you see, you know, meets across the country where not only Los Alamitos, but you see Oklahoma, Texas, they begin their meets, and it's all trials. It's all,
yep,
about the two-year-olds.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's where a lot of the nominations come up. And I want to say this year, I think nominations are going to be up for – the Kindergarten, if I remember correctly, looking at some of the stats and house bet. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a terrific two-year-old season here at Los Al.
Mm-hmm.
I think just to begin the first few month and a half of two-year-old races, the times and the quality of two-year-olds, I think it's better than last year.
Definitely. I think we've seen more talented runners early on. The filly races have all been close. I think the only real blowouts we've seen have been in the boy races,
yeah.
I mean, we've seen 4 2-year-olds on the line in,
yeah,
a couple of these filly races, so it's definitely been competitive.
Yeah, we've seen some clockings going in the low 1550s for some of these 2-year-olds, and last year I think we really saw more in the 1560s range. So this year we were starting to get some 2-year-olds up and early here at Los Alamitos.
So when are you going to get into the horse ownership game? Say you go to the sale,
okay,
and you pick out a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make these decisions.
Yeah, I know.
What fraternities are you being going to pay your horse into? Which ones would you choose? It's hard to choose them all. We usually pick 3.
Yeah. Well, I would probably want to go in the early one for sure.
Okay.
Because you tend to see a lot more development later in the few months. So if you know your horse looks good early on and you can really tell something's good about it, you want to be in the early ones because you got a lot better chance of not running into one of those monsters that really,
yes,
develops later in the year. So I would probably play it to where I'm for sure qualified to the early ones.
Okay. Yeah, we usually go into the Governor's Cup.
Yeah.
PCQHRA Derby.
Yeah.
Or a fraternity, and then the 2 million.
Yeah.
And that's usually because if you do go to the sale and you don't get one of those monsters, a lot of times those horses won't be paid into, say, the Ed Burke.
Yes.
So that's a lot of a thing to remember when you go to these sales is that at the bottom of the page, it'll tell you which fraternities they're nominated for. And you're not paying the whole fee along the way, but you're taking over from there
the
on
future,
out.
The future, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll go in there, but I agree. I like the early fraternities. I think if you got a quick horse, you definitely don't have to compete with that 400-yard distance.
Yep.
But then, you know, there's all those million-dollar races.
Yeah,
and people
so all that money.
And that's where you want to go.
Yeah.
So it's definitely some decisions to make.
It's a poker game. It is. But it's fun having those dreams. I haven't dabbled into horse ownership just yet, but maybe I will. You want to go partners?
I've been partners a lot.
Yeah.
It's always fun getting your picture taken.
Right.
It's the first year I ever owned horses. I bred a horse with George Cuarte, my
yeah.
buddy.
Yeah.
And it was out of a thoroughbred mare. So it was like a $4,000 claimer.
Yeah.
And we went to the sale and we bought Hard Hitting. And so he ended up winning your fraternity.
Yeah.
But winning a $4,000 maiden race was like the same feeling as winning that fraternity. I mean, it's just awesome. There's nothing like it.
How many two-year-olds are your partner this year?
Just one.
Just one?
I had two horses, but up until this week, we had two. But Wild Wonder officially sold.
Oh.
I found out. We had to go get papers for him, so I'm just down to one right now. My three-year-old is gone. We just have Walk with Jess.
So Walk with Jess, has it worked yet?
No, hasn't worked yet.
Okay.
He's taking his time. I'm kind of getting impatient. But
you got to call up the trainer. I mean, this trainer.
I ask him, I say, you know, is my horse going to work this Saturday? And he tells me to go chart races. So that's the only response I get.
So, yeah, I'm not feeling it. I think that the trainer's starting to evade you.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't like when I start questioning anything or giving him claims and stuff like that. He'll say, do I come up there to your work and tell you how to do comments?
Yeah.
And then say, no, he goes, okay, don't tell me how to train.
So, there you go.
But no, it's just a fun back and forth.
Yes.
You know, it's great. I love being in the little partnership we have. And, you know, I just like running horses.
Did you make some retirement money off of Wild Wonder? What's the transaction look like?
I just found out 5 days ago. So
really?
I have no clue.
Okay.
And, you know, they never consult me anyways. I'm just, you know, a minor owner in this. And it's, like I said, this group in Orange Park Acres, these ladies live around each other. They're all friends. They make all the decisions. I'm just part of it.
That's fun. That sounds like fun, though. I expect a big fat check in your name in the next few days. So Wild Wonder, soft and sold. So we'll keep tabs on your two-year-old. Hopefully you'll let us know the next time that one works.
Hopefully it's soon.
What are you paying into?
I think we're in the Gov Cup, PCQHRA Derby, or Fraternity, St. Derby, and $2 million.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. You know, it changes.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not in the committee. So if plans change, I'm the last to know. But that's fine.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So we'll keep tabs on that one. All right, anything else?
Thought I had a horse for people tomorrow night. Or on Saturday night at Sam Houston in the Derby, a horse I've been chasing.
You
probably see it on Twitter.
Me and you talk a lot about, you know, we keep tabs on quarter horse racing across the country.
Yeah.
We keep tabs on the Remington meet, Sam Houston meet, and now Ridoso is going to kick off just in a few days now. So what do you like over there?
I gave This Is an Eagle a chance. This is my big two-year-old from last year. And he's kind of been burning some money on me because he keeps breaking slow. But this horse finishes so strong. If this horse gets out of the gate, he's 10-1 morning line.
Ooh,
give him a look.
Not gonna be a 10-1 morning line for sure. We'll not stay at 10-1.
Yeah, usually people are pretty smart over there, no matter what the morning lines are. They watch the replays. They're pretty sharp handicappers. But I can hope and dream for a 10-1.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get that and pick threes or pick fours.
That's going to be fun. All right. We'll keep tabs on that horse, Sam Houston. I'm looking at the scores in the NBA right now. I know we both enjoy watching the NBA games, and it's playoff season. Rockets already won. Golden State already won advanced. And Philly already advanced. But now we got some three series. We got a game seven scheduled for tomorrow for the Bucks and Celtics. I want the Bucks. I want Giannis to go by.
Yep. I'm right there with you on
that one. We got Cavs and Pacers playing game six right now as we speak, and the Pacers are up by 12 points. Yeah? By nine. They're up by nine. They're up by nine, the Cavs, in the second quarter. What do you think is going to come out of that series?
You know, I think it's going to be the Cavs. I'm rooting for the Pacers. But they just don't show that
killer instinct.
Winning tenacity. I think they should have won game four.
Yes.
They should have won that, and they just couldn't close it out down the lane. And then, of course, LeBron next game.
Yeah.
You know, he LeBrons and hits the three to win the game. So I think that might have crushed their spirit. They're playing good right now, but I think LeBron will advance.
All right. I'm rooting for the Pacers as well in that series. Raptors and Wizards. Game six going on, and it looks like Raptors are up by 4 points in late fourth quarter. What do you think is going to get out of that series?
I think the Raptors will get out of the first round there, but, I mean, they just don't look.
They don't look.
Same old song and dance for the Raptors.
People don't give them enough credit, and it's because they don't look like their old self as from regular season to playoffs. They've been struggling with the Wizards, and I think they're going to sneak on by, but I think it's going to take everything they have to get over the Wizards.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing when I watch the Cavs and the Pacers. I think the Cavs should really be just taking it to the Pacers, and they're struggling. And then the Raptors, the same thing. I think they should be beating up on the Wizards. But, you know, John Wall's playing them tough.
Yep.
And, I mean, just pushing them every inch they can. I just wish they had a little easier time. That tells me that they're exerting too much effort on a team that they should already be done with.
Yeah, that's going to be in the East. In the West, we still got Thunder and Jazz playing Game 6 later on tonight. I wanted the Thunder to go to win the series, but I think the Jazz are going to get them. I mean, the Jazz are up 3-2, so they only got to win one out of the next two. And I can't see the Thunder winning two in a row. They were down like 20-something points.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Westbrook going crazy, they would have quit at home. So as much as I want the Thunder to go by, I think the Jazz are going to handle it.
Yeah, people are always on, you know, the two sides of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, he plays so hard.
Would you want him on your team?
Personally, I would die to have him on my team.
I would love him on my team.
I'm one of guy that wants to compete.
Attacks the basket nonstop. Who cares?
He's angry all the time.
Yes.
He doesn't want to make friends with everybody.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to go to the club afterwards.
Nope.
He wears all the goofy stuff.
Yes.
I'll let that pass as long as he's going out there every night. But, yeah, they're just having a hard time with the Jazz. I don't think their big three is anything to be scared of. Carmelo kind of disappeared.
He did not look like the old Carmelo. He looks like he aged 5 years in five months.
He definitely needs to go to another team.
And you know he's going to pick up that option because he's got an option.
Oh, yeah.
For like,
how much is this? Like
25, 28
yeah.
million?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous.
He's going to be like,
they're
I'm staying. No, they're not.
I just feel bad for Westbrook. I mean, Paul George is probably going to get out of there if he's smart. I wouldn't want to go and be playing with Carmelo, who, you know, I've always felt no matter where he goes, he doesn't care really about winning. He just wants the money.
Yeah. So
you know, kind of a Dwight Howard guy. they're just not winners. I don't think they want it enough. So having a guy like Westbrook who, you know, would kill his mom to win a championship probably, and Carmelo who's just there to cash checks.
That's
definitely a weird dynamic.
I really wanted it to work out, but it doesn't look like it's going to work out for them, so we'll see.
Yeah, I thought Chris Paul and Harden wouldn't work out.
Me neither.
Two guys like that need the ball, but,
you
know, they figured it out and they're playing great.
Yeah, but I want someone to upset the Rockets. I'm thinking the Jazz could do it. At some point, but I think I'm surprised by how entertaining the playoffs have been. I thought there were going to be a lot of sweeps, but all the series have been some entertaining to watch. So that's going to be fun. We'll see what happens. So I want Philly out of the East,
uh-huh.
And on the West, I don't know. I want some chaos. I want someone new. I don't care as long as it's not the Rockets or Golden State.
You know, I just want to see Golden State, because I think they're just the best team. So that I always like to see the best teams play each other when they're legit.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I want to see Philly advance all the way, because I think they're better than the Cavs. And then just to have, you know, all the, you know, the Golden State guys were the young and up-and-coming guys. Now they would have to go against the Sixers, young and up-and-coming guys. I think that's a good story, and that'd be a better matchup than them against LeBron and his squad that was put together late in the season.
I mean, and people feel sorry for LeBron. He's got a good team.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a good team. People were like, oh, he's carrying a bunch of guys. I mean, he's got a good, solid team.
Yeah, I always liked Clarkson when he was on the Lakers. Yeah. So when he went there, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least he's going to go be somewhere where they're competitive
and
not wasted. That's kind of how when Ariza left the Lakers there. You know, I wish we would have kept him instead of Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
But, you know, they kind of go on and do better things, become part of better teams. So, you know, I don't mind that at all.
So that's a little bit of wrap-up on Saturday card at Los Alamitos and a little bit NBA talk and beyond. All right, that was fun.
Time to get to work.
All right. Well, we got about 50 minutes here for Race 1 on Friday night. So We'll be back next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.